Ezra leaned over and shook his friend. Akeem, my brother, time to wake up. It's your watch. Akeem turned over, shook his head no, and grunted a bit. Ezra smiled. I know. Come on, my eyes are heavy. It's your turn. Akeem sat up slowly, rubbed his eyes and face, and sat against the rock wall. The two shepherds were leaning against the stone sheep enclosure with wooden sheep gate between them. Two friends watched separate flocks a few rolling hills out beyond Bethlehem's city limits. They watched each other's flocks and each other's backs. One could not be too careful between the occasional desert lynx or a lion and the thieves who would grab sheep if they could get away with it. Sometimes other shepherds pilfered sheep as they moved their flocks from hill to hill looking for good grass. Sheep were the all-purpose animal. Desired by most, they provided food, milk, wool, even supple leather for riding, and food and water skins for clothing. Only the rich afforded cattle for eating. The rest of the people had an occasional lamb at a wedding or a temple feast, but everybody drank their milk and spun their wool for clothing. Akeem was still trying to shake off the 4 hours of sleep. Ezra tossed him the leather bag with bread and cheese. "And this will help," he said. Akeem reached in for a small loaf, broke off the end, and started chewing. He held his other free hand over the small fire, a meager buttress against the cold and the animals. He looked up at the night. Stars filled the sky from horizon to horizon, and a small sliver of a moon hung above the gentle landscape. One of the sheep poked her head out of the slats in the gate and nuzzled Akeem. He scratched the ewe's ears and said, "Maybe you'll be lucky enough to be a sacrifice at the temple." Jerusalem was just 6 miles away. Ezra smiled. "Yes, you can fatten up a priest. That's a noble calling." Akeem was still shaking off the sleep as Ezra began to settle down to the ground. He had his extra robe on, had dug a shallow hole for his hips, making the outdoor rest more tolerable. Akeem pointed to the hills around them. "Have you ever thought that King David watched his father's sheep on these same hills? Before he was king, maybe even on this hilltop." Akeem swung his arms around his head as if he were ready to fire a rock from a sling. Ezra looked at him. "All the time, my brother. What Bethlehem shepherd hasn't? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters." He trailed off. "Yes, when David was shepherd and then king, he lent honor to our profession. It was a noble calling. Now, not so much. We can't testify in court, in all likelihood because of the rampant thievery of our kind. For the days of Moses, David, and Amos. Then our neighbors would treat us with respect." He settled down on the ground with his hand in back of his head. "Watch well, Akeem, watch well. I will dream well." But Ezra could not close his eyes. "Akeem." Akeem looked over at him. Ezra pointed up. "Look at that bright star. Is that getting bigger?" Akeem's eyes grew larger. "Holy, what in the name of all that's sacred?" Ezra sat up with a start. "It looks like it's coming right at us." And they got up on their haunches as if to run, but they were immobilized by the incongruity of it all. "Look out," Akeem cried as they both bent down and instinctively covered their heads with their arms. They braced for the impact, eyes scrunched shut, heads trembling. But no impact came. Instead, they heard a deep, authoritative voice. "Do not be afraid." The two young men opened one eye and turned their heads, pivoting on the ground toward one another. Ezra whispered, "Did that star just talk?" Again, the voice called out, "Do not be afraid." "Easy for you to say," thought Akeem. They both slowly lowered their hands to the dirt and lifted their heads. And in front of them, and about a shepherd's staff off of the ground, hovered a large man, with a short sword sheathed at his side and his hands on his hips. Akeem whispered, "I think that's an angel." Ezra looked down and looked up again. The man was glowing. The whole area was glowing. The shepherds looked around, and the area around the entire sheep enclosure was just like daytime. And out on the sides, night still grabbed at the horizon. Ezra whispered back, "I think you're right, an angel." The two seemed frozen, unsure of what to do. They couldn't take their eyes off of the large man with chiseled features and authority exuding from him just like the light. He looked back and forth at the two shepherds right in their eyes. Seems he wanted their attention. Fortunately, his eyes looked kind, even twinkled a bit, as if there was some deep joy radiating from within. "Do not be afraid," he said for the third time, and I think they actually heard him this time. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The angel paused as if to let that sink in. By now our shepherds were slack-jawed. A keen whispered, "Micah, the prophet Micah." Ezra turned to him, "What? What are you saying?" "Micah, the prophet's told about this. I learned it in synagogue. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." This is it. The Messiah has come to rule. And he rises out of our town, Bethlehem. The angel didn't seem to mind their dialogue. In fact, he seemed to approve. Ezra repeated what stuck with him. "Christ, the Lord Messiah, born here? Whoa, it was just sooner than I had ever expected, even though we've just all waited for years." The king was incredulous. "The Messiah, born today? Oh, man." The angel saw it was time for part two of the instructions. "This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Well, now the shepherds' looks turned quizzical. Every newborn was wrapped in cloths to keep their limbs straight and to mimic the womb. But to find him lying in an animal feeding trough, I mean, they both mouthed the words, "feeding trough, what? That's a sign?" Ezra nudged Akeem. "I thought the angel's a sign for sure, but a feeding trough? I mean, that's it. Seems a little slight to me." But before Akeem had a chance to answer, instantly, like a clap of thunder, the whole sky was ablaze with angels, all strong and joyous. The two tried to look up, but it was like looking at not one sun, but many suns in the sky. Akeem whispered, "I think it's another sign." The angels were saying things like, "Praise Jehovah," and "Holy God," "Blessed be our God and Creator." There was an ongoing hum of praise from the sky. And then, as if on cue, they all spoke clearly, and it was like a very loud trumpet. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Oh, it was so loud, the two almost wanted to cover their ears. Almost. And then, as quickly as it all happened, the angels receded into the sky like rocks from a sling, each looking like a moon getting smaller, and then, poof. It was over, and they were alone. They blinked, eyes adjusting once again to the dark night sky, the stars above, and the suddenly quiet countryside. Ezra and Akeem looked at each other. Did that really just happen? Ezra jumped up and started to run for Bethlehem. Akeem called after him, "Wait, wait, where are you going?" He turned, his eyes shining, "To Bethlehem, to see this marvelous thing," and he turned to run again. And Akeem called after him, no, wait, really, come back. What about the sheep?" Ezra turned and shrugged, "What about them?" "Ezra, we can't leave the sheep, it's our job." He looked deflated. "No, you're right, lions, thieves, oh, for the love of the blessed prophet. What are we going to do?" Akeem stood there looking at the sheep, looking into the sky and looking at Ezra. He thought back on all that the angel had said, and he started to pace the sandy soil. "Hold on. The angel said the Messiah would be born. It's the Lord and Savior," and he snapped his fingers. And he said, "And you will find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." He smiled as if hitting on something big. Ezra looked at him, head crooked and brow furrowed. What does that have to do with our sheep?" "Well, he said you would find the baby. God intends for us to go to find the baby." Ezra began to catch on. "So, if God intends for us to go, he'll watch the sheep." Akeem smiled. "Let's go." And off they went, robes flapping behind them, sandals slapping the ground. They covered the few hills out of Bethlehem and got to the outskirts of the town to catch their breath. "No, what are we looking for?" Ezra cleared his throat. "Well," he said, "a manger. I mean, where are the most feeding troughs?" The king pointed. "Well, there's those caves over there. They have most animals, I think. Let's check there." Now they slowed their pace to a trot, especially when they got to the area with several caves. They passed a few. They were dark. No sound but the occasional snort from an animal from within. Then they came upon one that was lit. Several clay lamps had been set up here and there in the cave. Hakim and Ezra slowly entered. A young woman was leaning with her back against a wall cushioned by hay. A young man jumped up protectively, standing between the shepherds and his apparently young wife. He looked at the two outdoorsmen, plainly dressed and poor in appearance. "What do you want?" Ezra half bowed, trying to look non-threatening. "We're looking for a newborn baby in a feeding trough." The young man's eyes appeared as big as a round of cheese. How did you know?" A small cry sounded. The two didn't appear to mean any harm, so the young man stepped aside. And behind him and next to the young woman was a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. Instinctively, the shepherds dropped to their knees. Tears came to Akeem's eyes as he looked at the baby and said, "The Messiah, blessed be God." The young couple looked at each other, both taken back. And just then, another man and a woman came in the cave carrying extra water skins, some blankets, and a couple towels. The man looked concerned at visitors this time of the night. "I'm the innkeeper. This is my cave. What are you doing here?" Two shepherds jumped up, joy radiating from their faces. "We were sent by an angel. It was just as he told us." Well, the mother and father and the innkeeper and his wife looked dubious, shooting glances at one another. The innkeeper made note of where the pitchfork was just in case he should need it. Ezra saw their concern. "Now let's back up a bit. Tonight we were minding our sheep a couple hills west of here when we were visited," and then he proceeded to tell the whole story, which was punctuated by Akeem's interruptions, filling in the details. Then Ezra finished the account. "And the angel told us we would find him just like this." He pointed to the baby in the trough, cushioned by hay. "I would not have believed it if I hadn't seen it myself. I believe. The angels, the visitation, it was just all too much. The sign is fulfilled. Here is the baby, my Lord, my Messiah." At this, the shepherd dropped to his knee again. And the young couple exchanged knowing glances. But the innkeeper looked thoroughly puzzled. Akeem picked up on this. "Have you heard of Micah?" Innkeeper replied, "You mean the prophet in the scripture?" "Heard of it on occasion." Akeem said, "I learned it in synagogue. Listen to this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over all Israel, whose origins are from of old, of ancient times." Well, the innkeeper was still trying to put it together. "Well, you're saying this baby is the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from long ago?" Ezra jumped up again. "Exactly. Just think about it. This couple just happened to have come to Bethlehem, not at their decision, but because of Roman the census. And they just happened to coincide with the timing of this birth. And we just happened to have been visited by one mighty angel and a whole sky full of them tonight as a sign. And the other sign was this, that we would find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a feeding trough. Now, there might be several newborns in Bethlehem tonight, but how many would be placed in a manger, in a feeding trough? Then there's the prophecy that Akeem just recounted from Micah, 700 years old. The innkeeper mused. I think he was catching on. Yes, and my inn just happened to be full, so there was no choice but to have this couple stay here with the feeding trough as the only place to lay a baby. Akeem chimed in. I'll bet this young couple could tell a few stories of their own, huh? Young woman nodded. The young man said, oh, the things that have happened in the last year. That young man got a faraway look in his eyes as he thought about the dream that God had given him months ago to instruct him to remain married to this pregnant woman. He'd struggled recently. Even if you have a dream from God, the farther you get away from that dream or that word, the easier it is to get foggy about the details. But this visit from the shepherds helped him remember what God had said to him. The innkeeper's wife left the water, towels, and blanket with the young woman. She joined her husband again. "I believe," she said. "There's just too much here for coincidence." Her husband put his arm around her. Okay, I can see I'm surrounded." He raised his arms as if to surrender. "But really, what I think is that this gives me hope. You know, look, I'm a Hebrew. I don't practice much. What I think is that if God appears to a poor young couple and does business with them, and then sends angels to a couple of vile shepherds, and no offense, none taken," said the king. "Well then," finished the innkeeper, "if Messiah deals with average poor folks, not just with the high and mighty, there's hope for someone like me." The young mother smiled and looked at her baby. Husband had already said his name would be Jesus. It means Yahweh saves, or God saves. She wondered if that was significant. She thought back to the visit by the angel Gabriel that she had experienced, wondering if it was the same angel who spoke to the shepherds that night. Another angelic sign. Another confirmation. This baby was not your average newborn. Achim and Ezra bid farewell to their new friends and began to walk back to their sheep. Ezra elbowed his friend. "Can you believe what a night this has been?" Achim rolled his eyes. "No, my family is going to think I'm crazy. I'll absolutely have to bring them back before the census is over to see the baby." Ezra looked at him. "Did you hear what the innkeeper said?" Achim furrowed his brow. "Which part?" "Well, if angels appear to a poor young couple and some vile shepherds, then there's hope for me." Achim shook his head. I know. That is just amazing." Ezra grabbed his friend by the arm. "Just think about it. If God Almighty foretold 700 years ago about this baby born here in our town, and then he told us about it, us, he gave us the sign. He didn't give the sign to the Roman prefect. He didn't appear to Elihud, the fantastically wealthy businessman. He appeared to a couple of poor shepherds. We can't even testify in court, but we can tell about God's visit and the Messiah." Achim ran his fingers through his hair. "Holy heaven and all that's sacred in the temple. God is for us. Us. He knows about us. Out here, who are we? We're nothing. And yet God knows. And He cares. If there's hope for us, there's hope for anyone." Tears came to his eyes. Ezra agreed. "That is just incredible." The dawn was beginning to creep over the town in back of them. Wait, oh, I forgot the sheep," he said. "I've been worried about the sheep." The stone enclosure was catching the first rays of sunrise. The two ran up the last hill and did a quick nose count. Every sheep was accounted for. They sank down backs against the stone wall, watching the sun beam through the clouds on the horizon. Ezra shrugged. "You know, I feel a little," he struggled to find the right word, "sheepish here. If God called you and me and included us in this night of miracles and Messiah, I'd forgotten he could very easily have watched a few sheep." Achim put his hand on his friend's shoulder. "David's psalm has never meant more than it does right now. The Lord is my shepherd." Well, he's our shepherd. It's fun to imagine the old story of the shepherds being visited by angels in their flocks while they're watching their flocks at night. What struck me thinking about this story once again, and it's a familiar story I think to many of us, is the faith that those shepherds had. The faith that they had to believe what they had seen and run into Bethlehem. But all of the characters in this story really practiced faith. Mary, just to believe what God had told her, "You're going to be pregnant, not by a man," and the one told her about the one to be born. Joseph, who obeyed God immediately, even though he was saying yes to a pregnant woman and he knew the baby wasn't his. Or the wise men, who traveled so far to see the King of the Jews. And that distance they traveled was done by faith. And again, the shepherds. The faith that they exercised in running into town, believing what the angel had said. Now, In the video that we saw before the story, that shepherd summarized the angel's announcements like this, and I like the way he said it. A baby got born tonight, and he's going to save the world. And later on, he calls him a world-saving baby. That was all based on what the angel had said. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior, one who saves. He is Christ, the Lord. The shepherd took the angel seriously. Based on what they knew of Bethlehem, what they knew of the sacred writings, they determined that this baby in the feeding trough was no ordinary baby. It's a world-saving baby. We got one more video to show. Let's watch that, and I'll be up to close us off.